Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Varney the Vampire.
The Feast of Blood.
Something spooky, just in time for Lupercalia.
Ah, yes, Hail Lupercal. Wait, that's different.
We are on Chapter 21, The Conference Between the Uncle and Nephew and the Alarm.
What a promising chapter title.
Meanwhile, Charles Holland had taken his uncle by the arm and led him into a private room. Dear uncle, he said, be seated and I will explain everything without reserve. Seated? Nonsense. I'll walk about, said the admiral. D-N me. I've no patience to be seated and very seldom had or have. Go on now, you young scamp.
Wow.
Well, well, you abuse me, but I am quite sure, had you been in my situation, you would have acted precisely as I have done.
No, I don't think he would have.
Can we just imagine for a minute that the Admiral is in Charles's situation? What would the Admiral do if Jack Pringle were under assault by a vampire?
Leave, I think.
Without Jack?
No, you're right. He probably would have done the same thing.
When they were back to back in the seas of whatever the fuck and blood was running from the scuppers.
I think the Admiral would have been, like, more heavy-handed and less, like... Charles Holland, his mouth wrote a lot of checks that his ass can't cash, you know? I feel like Admiral would just get in there and fuck it up.
Yeah, I feel like the Admiral would take a bayonet.
Yeah.
Or a saber to a certain vampire to rescue his beloved Jack.
Yeah, he wouldn't have blustered so much.
No, I shouldn't. Well, but uncle, don't think to come over me by calling me uncle. Hark you, Charles, from this moment I won't be your uncle anymore.
No, no! Oh, this is so sad.
Is Charles getting disowned for coming out as straight?
Oh my god, is this happening? Is he being oppressed?
Very well, sir. It ain't very well, and how dare you, you buccaneer, call me sir, eh? I say, how dare you? I will call you anything you like, but I won't be called anything I like. You might as well call me at once Morgan the Pirate, for he was called anything he liked. Helloa, sir, how dare you laugh, eh? I'll teach you to laugh at me. I wish I had you on board ship, that's all, you young rascal. I'd soon teach you to laugh at your superior officer, I would. Oh, uncle, I did not laugh at you. What did you laugh at, then? Do you bite your thumb at me, sir? No, sir, but I do bite my thumb, sir. Do you quarrel, sir? No, sir.
Do you think that that's what he was... He just, like, read that, and he's like, ah, people like that.
I can only assume. At the joke. Joke. D-N me. There was no joke at all. Am I funny to you? Do you think I'm a clown? Oh, very good. And it ain't very good. Charles knew very well that this sort of humor, in which was the old admiral, would soon pass away, and then that he would listen to him comfortably enough, so he would not allow the least exhibition of petulance or mere impatience to escape himself, but contented himself by waiting until the ebullition of feeling fairly worked itself out.
Jesus goddamn hell on earth.
I almost got it in one breath. That was only 59 words. Well, well, at length, said the old man, you have dragged me here into a very small and a very dull room, under pretense of having something to tell me, and I have heard nothing yet. Then I will now tell you, said Charles. I fell in love. Bah!
Shut up. Never mind. This is stupid and I'm leaving.
With Flora Bannerworth, abroad, she is not only the most beautiful created beings. Bah! But her mind is of the highest order of intelligence, citation needed, honor, candor, and all amiable feelings. Bah!
Fucking really feeling the Admiral today, honestly, yeah.
Really, uncle, if you say bah to everything, I cannot go on. And what the deuce difference, sir, does it make to you whether I say bah or not? Well, I love her. She came to England, and as I could not exist but was getting ill and should no doubt have died if I had not done so, I came to England.
All right, now you're just being dramatic, Charles.
But D-E, I want to know about the mermaid.
So is that Deuce and they just forgot to censor it that last time?
I don't know. The vampire, you mean, sir. Well, well, the vampire.
What if it were Varney the mermaid?
Incredible. Then, uncle, all I can tell you is that it is supposed a vampire came one night and inflicted a wound upon Flora's neck with his teeth, and that he is still endeavoring to renew his horrible existence from the young, pure blood that flows through her veins. The devil he is! Yes, I am bewildered, I must confess, by the mass of circumstances that have combined to give the affair a horrible truthfulness.
Whoa.
That was arguably a sentence.
I wanted to make sure this sentence was unparsable.
Poor Flora is much injured in health and spirits, and when I came home, she at once implored me to give her up and think of her no more, for she could not think of allowing me to unite my fate with hers under such circumstances. She did? Such were her words, Uncle. She implored me, she used that word, implore, to fly from her, to leave her to her fate, to endeavor to find happiness with someone else. Okay, so we're just getting a blow-by-blow recap of everything that happened in the book between Charles's arrival and the Admiral showing up.
Yeah, looks like. I guess if there had been, like, no, you know what, there really isn't a lot of excuse for this.
Were you going to say, like, since it's been weeks between chapters, the audience might need a catch-up if they haven't been able to keep the earlier issues around?
Yeah, but the catch-up could have been a sentence.
It could have, yeah.
Like, you know, it wouldn't have lost anything if the catch-up was just him saying, I believe Flora's been attacked by a vampire, and it's going to continue attacking her. And, like, and she told me to leave, but I won't. And, like, that would have been it. But we were, like, it's 8 paragraphs in, and he's still, like, recapping, and it's like, oh my god, on with it. Some of us paid for the last book.
Well, but I saw her heart was breaking. What of that? Much of that, Uncle. I told her that when I deserted her in the hour of misfortune, I hoped heaven would desert me. I told her that if her unhappiness was wrecked, to cling yet to me, and with what power and what strength God had given me, I would stand between her and all ill.
Whoa.
And what then? She fell upon my breast and wept and blessed me. Could I desert her? Could I say to her, my dear girl, when you were full of health and beauty, I loved you, but now that sadness is at your heart, I leave you? Could I tell her that, Uncle, and yet call myself a man?
You have said this 4 other times, Mr. Holland.
No, roared the old Admiral in a voice that made the room echo again, and I tell you what, if you had done so, D-N-U, you puppy, I'd have braced you and married the girl myself. I would, D-E, but I would. Sorry, I just need you. Can we just imagine the alternate universe fanfiction where Charles says, all right, and goes. And then the Admiral shows up and says, all right, Flora, we're getting hitched. Here's my husband. Welcome to our bizarre little family. And honestly, I think she'd be better off.
Welcome to the family.
Essentially adopted by Charles's gay uncles.
Honest to God, yeah.
Dear Uncle. Don't dear me, sir. Talk of deserting a girl when the signal of distress in the shape of a tear is in her eye. But I, you are a wretch, a confounded lubberly boy, a swab, a D-D bad grumpus.
What? A grumpus?
A grumpus? You just call his nephew a killer whale?
He called him a lot of things, and none of which I could even begin. What is swab dash A? Oh. Okay, I thought it says...
Yeah, so it's M-dash a swab, M-dash a D-dash-D bad grumpus.
But it's so hard...
There are so many M-dashes coming so close together along with the censorship dashes that it does get a little difficult to parse.
Yeah, so them crammed together, I thought that they were trying to refer to a curse that started with swab and ended with A. And I was like, what curse is that? But that was an M-dash.
You're just on the lookout for exciting new swears to incorporate into your daily vocabulary. I know what you're about. You mistake, Uncle. No, I don't. God bless you, Charles, you shall have her. If a whole ship's crew of vampires said no, you shall have her. Let me see her. Just let me see her. The Admiral gave his lips a vigorous wipe with his sleeve, and Charles said hastily, my dear uncle, you will recollect that Miss Bannerworth is quite a young lady. I suppose she is. Well then, for God's sake, don't attempt to kiss her.
What? What?
Not kiss her, D-E, they like it, not kiss her because she's a young lady, D-E, do you think I'd kiss a corporal of Marines?
Yeah, I do think you would do that last one.
I think you would and you have, sir. No, Uncle, but you know young ladies are very delicate. And ain't I delicate? Shiver my timbers, ain't I delicate? Where is she? That's what I want to know. I'm sure Jack tells the Admiral he's delicate every night. The Admiral is Jack's delicate flower.
Delicate little corporal of Marines. It's good to know that the Admiral is still kind of, he is still soft, you know?
I mean, I feel like we knew that.
That's true.
We've known that for a couple chapters now. Then you approve of what I have done. You are a young scamp, but you have got some of the old Admiral's family blood in you, so don't take any credit for acting like an honest man. You couldn't help it. But if I had not so acted, said Charles with a smile, what would have become of the family blood then? What's that to you? I would have disowned you because that very thing would have convinced me you were an impostor and did not belong to the family at all. Well, that would have been one way of getting over the difficulty. No difficulty at all. The man who deserts the good ship that carries him through the waves, or the girl that trusts her heart to him, ought to be chopped up into meat for wild monkeys.
What a saying.
Well, I think so too. Of course you do. Why, of course? Because it's so D-D reasonable that, being a nephew of mine, you can't possibly help it. Bravo, uncle. I had no idea you were so argumentative. Hadn't you, Spoony? You'd be an ornament to the gun room, you would. But where's the young lady who is so infernal delicate? Where is she, I say? I will fetch her, uncle. Ah, do so. I'll be bound now. She's one of the right build, a good figurehead, and don't make too much stemway.
Like the Admiral is so lost with what to do with women that he's just like, ah, slam her on the front of a ship. That's what ladies do, right?
I feel like that's been most of his encounters with women, is they are made of wood and on the front of ships.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just like, well, does she look nice on the front of a ship? That's all you care about, right?
A woman's place is on the front of
on the front. A woman's place is on the front of a boat. I don't care. I don't care if this is a hot take.
Well, well, whatever you do now, don't pay her any compliments, for your efforts in that line are of such a very doubtful order that I shall dread to hear you. You be off and mind your own business. I haven't been at sea 40 years without picking up some out-and-out delicate compliments to say to a young lady. But do you really imagine now that the deck of a man-o-war is a nice place to pick up courtly compliments in? Of course I do. There you hear the best of language, D-Dashy. You don't know what you're talking about, you fellows that have stuck on shore all your lives. It's we seamen who learn life.
Oh boy.
Well, well, hark! What's that? A cry, did you not hear a cry? A signal of distress by G-D. In their efforts to leave the room, the uncle and nephew for about a minute actually blocked up the doorway, but the superior bulk of the Admiral prevailed, and after nearly squeezing poor Charles flat, he got out first. But this did not avail him, for he knew not where to go. Now, the second scream which Flora had uttered when the vampire had clasped her waist came upon their ears, and as they were outside the room, it acted well as a guide in which direction to come. Charles fancied correctly enough at once that it proceeded from the room which was called Flora's own room, and thitherward. Accordingly, thitherward. He dashed at tremendous speed. Thitherward.
So they called the room Flora's own room. And also, we have introduced the word thitherward.
Your word of the day is thitherward.
Thitherward.
Henry, however, happened to be nearer at hand, and moreover, he did not hesitate a moment, because he knew that Flora was in her own room, so he reached it first. And Charles saw him rush in a few moments before he could reach the room.
Oh, great. I love to know exactly...
I feel like the author just remembered that Henry exists.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, Henry just came back from a business trip, it seems. And I just really like the Scooby-Doo, like, announcement of how close everyone is relative to Flora's own room.
Oh, yeah. The difference of time, however, was very slight, and Henry had only just raised Flora from the floor as Charles appeared. God of heaven, cried the latter, what has happened? I know not, said Henry. As God is my judge, I know not. Flora, Flora, speak to us. Flora, Flora. She has fainted, cried Charles. Some water may restore her. Oh, Henry, Henry, is this not horrible? Courage, courage, said Henry, although his voice betrayed what a terrible state of anxiety he was himself in. You will find water in that decanter, Charles. Here is my mother, too. Another visit. God help us. Mrs. Bannerworth sat down on the edge of the sofa which was in the room and could only wring her hands and weep.
Helpful.
Avast, cried the Admiral, making his appearance. Where's the enemy, lads? Uncle, said Charles, uncle, uncle, the vampire has been here again, the dreadful vampire. D-enemy, and he's gone too, and carried half the window with him. Look there. It was literally true. The window, which was a long latticed one, was smashed through. Help, oh help, said Flora. as the water that was dashed in her face began to recover her.
Just pouring water on the poor girl.
"You are safe," cried Henry. "You are safe." "Flora," said Charles, "do you know my voice, dear Flora? Look up, and you will see there are none here but those who love you." Flora opened her eyes timidly as she said, "Has it gone?" "Yes, yes, dear," said Charles. "Look around you. Here are none but true friends." "And tried friends, my dear," said Admiral Bell, "excepting me. And whenever you like to try me, afloat or ashore, D-enemy, show me old Nick himself, and I won't shrink. Yardarm and yardarm, grapnel to grapnel, pitch pots and grenades." "This is my uncle, Flora," said Charles. "I thank you, sir," said Flora faintly.
What a good time to introduce her.
"All right," whispered the Admiral to Charles. "What a figurehead, to be sure. Pull at Swansea would have made just about four of her, but she wasn't so delicate, D-enemy."
"Yep, looks good on a boat. Way to go, way to go, nephew."
"I should think not. You are right for once in a way, Charlie. What was it that alarmed you?" said Charles tenderly, as he now took one of Flora's hands in his. "Varney, Varney, the vampire." Are we gonna get, like, a title drop per chapter now that it's started?
Now he's got a taste for title dropping.
Now that we've figured out Varney is, in fact, the vampire, as promised on the front of the magazine. "Varney," exclaimed Henry. "Varney, here." "Yes, he came in at that door, and when I screamed, I suppose, for I hardly was conscious, he darted out through the window." "This," said Henry, "is beyond all human patience. By heaven, I cannot and will not endure it." "It shall be my quarrel," said Charles. "I shall go at once and defy him. He shall meet me." "Oh, no, no, no," said Flora, as she clung convulsively to Charles. "No, no, there is a better way." "What way?" "The place has become full of terrors. Let us leave it. Let him, as he wishes, have it." "Let him have it?"
"Let him have it."
"Yes, yes. God knows, if it purchase an immunity from these visits, we may well be overjoyed. Remember that we have ample reason to believe him more than human. Why would you allow yourselves to risk a personal encounter with such a man, who may be glad to kill you, that he might have an opportunity of replenishing his own hideous existence from your best heart's blood?"
"That's a great question, Flora. Why keep the house?"
The young men looked aghast.
They were like, "Whoa, wait!"
"Besides," added Flora, "you cannot tell what dreadful powers of mischief he may have, against which human courage might be of no avail." "There is truth and reason," said Mr. Marchdale, stepping forward, "in what Flora says. Also, I'm here now. Hello."
"Hi, Mr. Marchdale. Waited a time to show up."
"Only let me come across him, that's all," said Admiral Bell, "and I'll soon find out what he is. I suppose he's some long slab of a lubber after all, ain't he, with no strength." "His strength is immense," said Marchdale. "I tried to seize him, and I fell beneath his arm as if I had been struck by the hammer of a cyclops."
"And who are you, Marchdale, that you've suddenly become the bellwether of human strength?"
"A what?" cried the Admiral. "A cyclops. D-enemy, I served aboard the Cyclops 11 years and never saw a very big hammer aboard of her."
I love the Admiral.
"What on earth is to be done?" said Henry. "Oh," chimed in the Admiral, "there is always a bother about what's to be done on Earth. Now, at sea, I could soon tell you what was to be done."
God, I wish I were on a boat.
"We must hold a solemn consultation over this matter," said Henry. "You are safe now, Flora." "Oh, be ruled by me. Give up the hall." "You tremble." "I do tremble, brother, for what may yet ensue. I implore you to give up the hall. It is but a terror to us now. Give it up. Have no more to do with it. Let us make terms with Sir Francis Varney. Remember, we dare not kill him." "He ought to be smothered," said the Admiral. "It is true," remarked Henry. "We dare not, even holding all the terrible suspicions we do, take his life." "By foul means, certainly not," said Charles, "were he 10 times a vampire. I cannot, however, believe that he is so invulnerable as he is represented." "No one represents him here," said Marchdale. "I speak, sir, because I saw you glance at me. I only know that, having made 2 unsuccessful attempts to seize him, he eluded me, once by leaving in my grasp a piece of his coat, and the next time he struck me down, and I feel yet the effects of the terrific blow."
"Go sit down, Marchdale, you old codger."
"You hear?" said Flora. "Yes, I hear," said Charles. "For some reason," added Marchdale in a tone of emotion, "what I say seems to fall always badly upon Mr. Holland's ear. I know not why, but if it will give him any satisfaction, I will leave Bannerworth Hall tonight."
"Oh my god, you fucking drama queen, Marchdale." "Fine, then I guess I'll just go. Whatever, I guess I'll just leave."
"No, no, no," said Henry. "For the love of heaven, do not let us quarrel." "Hear, hear," cried the Admiral. We can never fight the enemy well if the ship's crew are on bad terms. Come now, you Charles, this appears to be an honest, gentlemanly fellow. Give him your hand. If Mr. Charles Holland, said Marchdale, knows aught to my prejudice in any way, however slight, I here beg of him to declare it at once and openly. I cannot assert that I do, said Charles. Then what the deuce do you make yourself so disagreeable for, eh? Cried the Admiral. Great fucking question. One cannot help one's impression and feelings, said Charles, but I am willing to take Mr. Marchdale's hand. And I yours, young sir, said Marchdale, in all sincerity of spirit and with good will towards you. They shook hands, but it required no conjurer to perceive that it was not done willingly or cordially. It was a handshaking of that character which seems to imply on each side, I don't like you, but I don't know positively any harm of you.
Oh my god, fantastic.
There now, said the Admiral, that's better. Now let us hold counsel about this Varney, said Henry. Come to the parlor, all of you, and we will endeavor to come to some decided arrangement. Do not weep, mother, said Flora. All may yet be well. We will leave this place. We will consider that question, Flora, said Henry, and believe me, your wishes will go a long way with all of us, as you may well suppose they always would. They left Mrs. Bannerworth with Flora, and proceeded to the small oaken parlor, in which were the elaborate and beautiful carvings which have been before mentioned. Henry's countenance, perhaps, wore the most determined expression of all. He appeared now as if he had thoroughly made up his mind to do something which should have a decided tendency to put a stop to the terrible scenes which are now day by day taking place beneath that roof. Charles Holland looked serious and thoughtful, as if he were revolving some course of action in his mind, concerning which he was not quite clear. Mr. Marchdale was more sad and depressed, to all appearance, than any of them.
Oh my god, he's so dramatic.
As for the Admiral, he was evidently in a state of amazement and knew not what to think. He was anxious to do something, and yet what that was to be, he had not the most remote idea, any more than as if he was not at all cognizant of any of these circumstances, every one of which was so completely out of the line of his former life and experience. George had gone to call on Mr. Chillingworth!
Mr. Chillingworth!
So he was not present at the first part of the serious council of war! Chillingworth! Chillingworth was coming back! Oh my god!
Chillingworth! Chillingworth! Oh my god, Chillingworth's gonna come for the war council.
Ah, finally! Oh my god!
Hell yeah!
Okay, thus ends chapter 21, but oh my god, what an end!
What an end.
The return of Chillingworth is foretold!
That almost makes up for Marchdale fucking sulking around because he got punched by a vampire.
He got punched by a vampire, and the 16-year-old girl he wants to marry someone her own age.
Yeah, how dare she?
I'm so fucking pumped for Chillingworth, but I do... Alright, I know I've been yelling for Chillingworth to come back for 10 chapters now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm very, very glad that he is, but I am concerned that we did not hear anything of Jack Pringle for that entire chapter.
Well, he's sitting in the living room, right?
Is that where he is?
I know at some point they were just like, hey, Jack, maybe you sit back on this one. And he was like, yeah, fine. So I assume he's in the living room.
I hope so. Although it's weird that he didn't run in when Flora screamed, because everyone else did. Maybe he just got lost because the house is so big.
Yeah.
I just really hope Varney didn't eat him.
I don't think Varney ate him. No. Absolutely not. It can't.
We cannot rob the Admiral of his Jack Pringle. I will cry. Oh my god. So Dee, are you as fucking pumped for Chillingworth's return as I am?
I am. I am extremely excited that he's gonna be drawing up battle plans. He's gonna fucking kill his vampire. He's gonna know what to do.
When he was yardarm and yardarm with the Admiral, the skeppers were running with blood. He knew what to do then, D-ND.
Alright, I'm gonna call. Chillingworth's gonna be best friends with the Admiral and Pringle.
I don't know. I want them to be because they're all my favorites, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing is I'm just saying it because I want my faves to be in a little team.
Oh yeah, Chillingworth as a man of science, he still doesn't believe the vampire is real. So it'll be interesting to see everyone try to convince him again, I'm assuming.
That's why I'm excited for him to show up, because I feel like Chillingworth is going to bring the right energy of like, I don't see what the problem is. If you guys hate this guy so much, then sell the fucking house and get out of here.
That would be refreshing.
Yeah.
So, as of concluding this chapter, we are now a quarter of the way through Varney the Vampire.
Hooray!
We've made it. Only 75% of the novel to go.
Everyone get out your noisemakers and tweet them silently into the abyss.
Yay!
this is recorded, and I'm not going to subject anyone to that kind of noise.
Well, thank you all for supporting the podcast, and we are excited to join you next week for Chapter 22, The Consultation, The Determination to Leave the Hall. Fucking finally. Au revoir.
Goodbye.